Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart.
Did you know that you can grow spinach and zucchini in a pot?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I thought you could only, especially zucchini, I thought you could only grow zucchini in the ground because of how it grew. But it is my dream to be a successful veggie gardener.
Yeah.
And I have tried for many years and I have spent money and a little bit of time, probably not enough time, on trying to make it successful. And I have failed every single year. And so this year I decided I'm going to turn a new leaf, LOL, and really be good at being a veggie gardener. And so I decided to start small and like keep it easy for myself. But I decided to do spinach and zucchini in a pot. I have mint in the garden, which like works. It's practically a weed. And a couple herbs. So I'm doing like a lime something. I don't even know what it is. A sage. And then literally something else, a basil. And so I've been like babying them all day, every day, and really trying to like make them work. The spinach has been freaking thriving, like so much so that like, I mean, we can have bushels of it for dinner and whatever we want. So Penny will go out and just like pick one and just eat
it. I think it's because your house is so shady back there.
Well, so, but spinach and zucchini need sun.
But it's only part sun, right?
Right. But I put it on our west facing side still isn't directly west. It's at an angle. So it's on our west facing side, but it is not. Our last two houses have been west facing directly and they have been so freaking hot all the time.
Yeah. We've tried the lettuce and spinach and never had much success with leafy greens just because it would cook. But tomatoes, we could grow to kingdom come because it was always hot. But
now you can't eat them.
For people who've struggled, truly, do some research. Straw bale gardening is...
I know. I tried that. I wanted to do that last year and I bought the straw bale.
Yeah.
And then I tried to like make holes in it for the plants and I just like the straw just like fell apart before I could really do anything with it. So I don't know if it's where I put it or what, but it didn't work for me.
There's a couple things you probably did wrong, but
I'm sure.
But you have to like water it for a while to get it to start breaking down internally. Sure. But also, anyway, there's a lot to it, but it's really interesting. That's what we used to do in our old house all the time. I think at this point we would probably end up doing raised beds at this house, but we haven't put them in since I've had so many issues. But I do have a mind-blowing fact. Well, at least I think it's a fact. I saw it on TikTok, so who actually knows? Did you know that most oranges in the U.S. are painted orange?
How are they painted?
They paint the skin because they don't actually look orange. And so to make them more sellable to the U.S. audience, they paint them.
So is painting the right word?
I don't know. They definitely don't dye them because they spray them with a coating of some kind.
I didn't specifically know that. However, okay. What I did start learning was that like fruits and veggies are not the color that we think that they are.
Oh, most of them aren't.
Most of them are not. And even so much that like I wash my fruits and veggies thoroughly well.
Yeah.
Like we have a fruit and veggie cleaner.
Yeah. Many of them are covered in wax and other.
Blueberries, y'all, are like almost black. If you didn't know that, you need to wash your blueberries. They are almost black. And everyone out here is thinking they're like this dusty gray blue. I'm like, that is wax on your blueberries. Go clean your fruits and veggies. Yeah, so someone is saying the word is dyed. It's an artificial dye. It's called citrus red too.
It's just to make them more appealing. Uh-huh.
Aren't bananas that way too?
Bananas? No, bananas are flown in green because they're less...
Right.
They will stay longer. And then most are put in a gas chamber in the grocery store and ripened using banana gas.
Atlanta.
But honestly, I think part of my potential allergy issues that I've had is, and this is me just like hypothesizing, but am I actually more allergic to the dyes and the chemicals that they're subjected to and not necessarily the fruit themselves.
Have you tried an organic orange?
I haven't, but tomatoes, it didn't matter if I grew them myself or not. So I haven't gone down that road. The last time I ate oranges.
Because this one's saying if you're regularly zesting and canning peels, you may want to buy organic oranges. If you're just eating the inside, it's probably fine. But
yeah,
I've heard of people who argue.
But it's just crazy to me. Well, Frankenfood is like a whole thing.
And listen, like I am the opposite of a doomsday person.
Yeah.
I don't have a basement full of canning supplies. I'm not prepping for the apocalypse. I don't. However, even I am slightly nervous about our food supply future.
Oh, I am very nervous about
it. I'm trying to get a little equipped right now to start to grow.
Everyone needs to practice gardening, period.
I'm practicing garden. That's the stage I'm in. I'm non-anxiously practicing gardening so that if the anxiety increases, I won't feel like I'm starting from zero. So I want to start with this year. And then I want to add, I mean, like potatoes are super easy, but like foods that like can be a meal.
Yeah.
We love zucchini in our house. And so I'm trying to.
If you get that going, it will feed you all summer.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm trying to. I would love to do potatoes next year. I would love to do garlic. If anyone has any garlic tricks, let me know. Maybe you can grow those in a pot. That'd be super ideal for me. Mostly because our yard, whoever had our house before, just like covered our soil in like rocks and pebbles. Uh-huh. And so when we had someone like working on our yard, they were like, literally the only way to transition your soil to super nutrient good soil is to get a digger out here and they need to dig 3 feet into the ground to get all of the rock dirt out and then backfill it with good dirt for 3 feet. And I'm like, do you think I'm Bill Gates?
No. Well, if it makes you feel any better, not that I don't think you should practice gardening. I think it's a good skill and I definitely think you... producing your own produce is an incredible rewarding feeling. But if it truly ever becomes like an actual problem, like I have close friends and family who are farmers with lots of land and
what? Because I'm gonna need some meat from y'all. Like
yeah,
I'm not
like
I'm
we
not
got
gonna,
I
I'm
got
not
like
that.
I got well we have cows. Are we gonna I need to find
you need
I need to become
people.
Friends with a chicken farmer.
Because I can't eat beef.
I do have an egg supplier now.
Great.
But we don't know them very well. So I need to get to be friendly.
Yeah. You need to network. You need to build relationships with good people. If you are in the Kansas City market and you have chickens.
Yeah, but not just egg chickens, but like
chicken.
Which I want to like chicken breast, chicken thigh. Like
I
want
to eat your chickens.
Preferably pre-butchered. I don't need them with feathers. Okay. Anyway. In all your spare time, you're gardening.
Well, truly. And I'm excited about this space of like learning more about it and like releasing the pressure, because when I first, you're just going to LOL, especially anyone who knows gardening is going to LOL. In our very first home, I wanted to become an expert gardener. So do you know what the first veggie, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm committing to this gardening life. I am the gardening girl, and I'm picking this one because over the years, it will provide all of the things, even if it takes time.
Did you pick a tree of some kind?
Fucking asparagus. Asparagus, y'all. If you don't know about asparagus, plant it now, and in 7 years, you might have enough to eat. Like, it is the lowest. It's great, though. It's great. And, like, eventually, you'll just have enough. But, like, you know how they say, like, the best time to plant a tree was 15 years ago? That's asparagus.
That's why we're planting 7 trees year one of moving into our house.
Yes. 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 Well, we luckily don't need, I mean, we've planted 6 trees already here in this house. And if you can think of that, that's wild to me, but they are fast growing. But yeah, maybe I'll plant asparagus, but I also don't even like asparagus that much. Like, I'll eat it, but it's just not like my favorite.
It's not my favorite, but I'm also, this is a very unfortunate reality for me. I get fixations.
Yes. And then you're just like
in every area of my life, including vegetables. So like, I used to love zucchini and we ate it all the time. And now I'm like, look.
Oh, see, I also want to grow broccoli. Zucchini and broccoli are my two favorites.
Broccoli is up there right now. Green beans is the shit.
Green beans is the shit. Oh, man. Well, if you're a gardener and have any tips, send them my way.
Yeah, Emily needs all the help.
Seriously, though, I do. Well, are there hobbies that you are enjoying with your expansive time?
Oh, I did buy an embroidery kit.
Really?
I did. So I thought I liked...
With my hand?
Yeah. So I got one around Christmas time at Target. They had these, you know, the embroidery hoop. And it had like a spoofy phrase. And I said, what would it feel like to make something that I plan to throw away? And it was liberating because I both enjoyed making it and had no interest in keeping it. It was so great. I kept it for about a week. I did finish the project. This, however, I enjoyed it enough and I was actually pretty fast at it, that I have a desire to embroider shoes, like flowers on the side of shoes is my goal. But I want to practice more flowers first. So I got 3 embroidery hoops with like a pattern, and like it comes with all the yarn? String?
Thread.
Embroidery thread? There we go. Thread.
You'll get
to that. Make it. And so I can practice some different flower techniques. And then apparently I've learned this via the TikTok. Mm-hmm. That there is, so you know how you have to have backing of some kind?
Yeah.
There is a dissolvable version.
Ooh.
So you can do it on clothing or shoes, nice. And it can be bigger than your design.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you can run it underwater and then the outside dissolves.
Nice.
So.
Well, I've already picked my fall hobby.
Oh, what's your fall hobby?
My fall hobby is going to be candle making.
Oh, this will be good. Mm-hmm. Please make me some.
I will. And I am also setting the same limitations of not necessarily throwing it away. I'll burn it either way. But like, I'm not selling them. I'm not creating a shop for them.
Nope.
I literally want
to make one pair of shoes. Uh-huh. That's it. Right. I would like some too.
I mean,
if they end up being decent, I will make you a pair of shoes. Yes. I'll probably end up having to make my sister some.
A little cactus on them. That'd be so
cute. I almost got a cactus one to practice. And I was like, I need to start with flowers first. You don't need to be people pleasing immediately with your new hobby.
Nope. Do what you want. I have a newfound addiction for candles over the years. And they're expensive. And I really want to try to find a way to like be able to have a container and put a candle in it and then get to reuse that container. Cause like it's the containers that's expensive. It's not necessarily the candles. And I want to like know what's going in my candles.
Yeah. So. I definitely want to know what's going in my candles too. That's been my main hesitation with buying them literally anywhere. You know, a lot of people who don't use beeswax use soy wax, but Jared's very allergic to soy. And so I hesitate to burn, like literally burn soy in my house. So I'm like, what is another ethically sourced wax that isn't crazy expensive?
Right. I don't know. Well, I will research it to death as per my personality. And okay, great. You know.
keep me posted.
I will. Okay. So we're having these amazing hobby conversations because the conversation about I need some damn time back is a very common theme with our clients, with our audience, with y'all. And I have found it very interesting because I feel like I would have had a different version of this conversation 6-7 months ago than what I'm going to have now.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Because I want to break apart all of this, but like the overarching, like, I didn't expect this outcome to happen, right? Is what I want to kind of lead into. So everyone, literally everyone says it's either and or. I want to make more money and or I need more of my time back. I'm working too many hours.
A lot of people want to do both.
A lot of people want to do both. Hence the name of our advanced training that you get when you apply is how to double your income while working 20 hours a week or less. Mm-hmm. Because we were like, cool, there's these service providers who are burnt out and they're like working super, super early and into the night and on weekends. And like, let us help them make some refinements in their offer and in their systems and in their business in order to make more and then scale back that time. And the way that our formula works, our structure works is you typically make more first and then you are able to free up the time and you can choose then how you spend that time, right? What I saw then, what was reality is we were getting clients inside the incubator and they were interested in making more and cutting back their time. And then they would make more. And then they were like, oh, I actually feel not bad at all about the hours that I'm putting into my business.
Yeah, because most of the, now there is a handful, don't get me wrong, there's a handful that were working 40, 60, 80 hour work weeks.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about that. I think the majority are working somewhere between 30 and 40 hours a week. But when they make enough money, they actually enjoy.
Yeah.
That schedule.
And that's not even just about the money. Like, obviously, that's the precursor, right? But like, we've mentioned Bonnie before on the podcast, and I know there are other clients in our group who I'm sure have this very similar story. But it's as soon as like the financial stressors are alleviated.
Yeah.
And then we're working with dreamier clients, the desire to work is there again. And the like resentment of the clients and their ideas.
Yeah, when you're in burnout, your only solution is, oh, I just have to work less.
Right, right. And well, it was where I was in, you know, 2016, where I was like, if we take on one more client, I'm done. If we do it like this, I'm done. My brain didn't imagine that there were different ways of doing the exact same thing that would make me feel a different way, that would make me feel better.
Yeah, I mean, it took quite the path to get to that you understood what that meant.
6 years later, it's come full circle.
6 years later. No, but I think it's interesting. So now there is nothing against wanting to work less. I love the idea of working less for you.
And working less in seasons. I think that's an idea I also didn't entertain for a long time. Where I was like, well, if I work less, then I need to work less always. Or like, why would I ever want to work more? I actually like my job. I like doing what I do. And there are seasons where like putting in that like traditional kind of schedule is totally great and exactly what my creativity needs to do. And then there are times like now where we're heading into summer where we're implementing Quiet Fridays and the work looks different. There's like the 2 weeks off of our summer break where the work is going to look different. And it doesn't have to be a all or nothing.
Right. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And it's surprising. Like I have in my career and in this position, I've worked as little as probably 10 hours a week and as much as 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. I think I'm right now somewhere between 30 and 35 is my guess. I think we have a technical 40-hour work week, but we pay our team for lunch. So like, please take a break in the middle of the day. Yeah. So if you're just like taking out the times, then when you're walking away from a desk, I think that's pretty typical. But the cool part is when you have the control back, you get to make the choice that feels good for the season you're in. And I think the reason so many of you right now in this moment desire to work less is you feel like your time is not something you are in control of.
Right.
You have promised it to other people. You have given it away. You have put a dollar amount to every minute of your day.
Quite literally.
Literally. And when that happens, you don't feel in control. And so I find, interestingly enough, that when you take back that control,
yep,
that all of a sudden the desires kind of shift and move around. But one of the things that I think is interesting that's correlated is if we're talking specifically about time, so many of you are charging based on the amount of time you're spending in a project.
Yeah.
But the majority of you have built up an expertise. I have been working on this side project for a couple of months. And a couple of months ago, me doing the task, it doesn't really matter what it is, but I was like, man, it's been a while. I'm feeling a little rusty. It was taking me a while. And yesterday I worked on something and I was like, I am so efficient. And the funny thing is, when you create those efficiencies, because y'all are going to do it over time, like it just happens. But why do you penalize yourself and literally make less?
The better you get.
The better you get. I'm like,
I've never understood that.
It doesn't make any damn sense to me. Some of our clients, like if you really broke it down by the hour, which they're not because they're selling a package, they're selling a deliverable, they're selling their expertise, they might be making $1,000 or $2,000 an hour, which sounds bananas. Mm-hmm. But it is
not. Your client doesn't need to know that.
No, the client doesn't need to know that at all. The client doesn't need to know that at all.
I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The moisture-rich balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken Body Wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken Body Wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling moisture-rich balm, the moisture-rich body balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have bookkeepers making $1,000 an hour.
Yeah.
The part that I don't think clicks for people is that you have to get paid for the hours you're not directly working on the client work. What about the hours it took you to land the client? What about the hours it takes you to land the next one? Who's going to pay you then?
Yep. What about even with that same client, the hours that you're emailing them and scheduling things and having meetings with them and check in where you're not actively working on their project, but you are working with the client?
Yeah.
Landing the client, getting them, billing them.
Yeah. So I think it's way less about the amount of time you're spending and more about the problem you're solving. But you get so caught up on the time because it feels out of your control that you're mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. well, if I charge this way, then I'm taking back control. But you're not.
But you're not.
Not.
Well, and okay, what's the number one cure for figuring out what's the actual problem that you're solving for your clients, which is also a cure for scope creep, which is also a cure for like the anxiety that comes from, am I actually providing good enough results for my client? Are they going to keep renewing or refer me or whatever? It's being super, super clear on the thing that you offer actually provides the result that your client wants, period. Nothing more and nothing less.
Yeah. The amount of y'all working and like doing things, don't get me wrong, you're doing a lot, but because you aren't clear on what it's doing for your client, they're confused on what they're getting. They're confused on the value that it's providing. And there's this like mismatch, which just leads to, well, I think I need more because I'm not where I thought I was going to be. But there was just the where you think you're going to be was never communicated.
Mm-hmm.
You should see Emily's hair. Right.
It's so hot up here, guys.
So crazy.
I'm putting my hair up in a clip that's way too small. And so I had to put the clip like at the very tip end of my hair.
Just wow.
And I missed the whole piece. It's fine.
So what would it look like knowing what you know now and knowing what you thought people would think they wanted 7 months ago? Like, because my instinct is tell them what they think they need.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I truly thought, especially with the effects of 2020 and 2021 and so on and so forth, that people genuinely wanted to work less. Like they want 20 hours a week or less.
But I think when they come in our bubble, they still think that.
Yeah, agreed. But like that they wanted to work less and then fill that time with like, maybe they thought they were still be homeschooling their kids or, you know, doing different things in their lives because priorities have shifted and whatever. And what I found interesting, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast, I think, but especially with clients about, you know, I think for many years, there was a huge forced separation in your identity at work and your identity as a human being, and that somehow they couldn't be the same and that you couldn't get joy from your work. And if you did, then that must meant you were a workaholic and you never got joy from your family or the things that you like. And if you did get joy from there, then you weren't working enough over here. And it was just like super convoluted. And instead, like, I like part of my identity and who I am as a person, not my worth, but my identity absolutely comes from the work that I do because it lifts me up and fulfills me mm-hmm. and makes me a better human.
Mm-hmm.
And also the relationships I have and the friendships I have also make me a better human and the hobbies that I have. And so I no longer like penalize myself for enjoying work. And instead create space around it that enables me to live the life that I want to live in the healthy way that I can. And I think that's ultimately what people are after, but that like, that's a really long headline on a sales page.
I mean, I think at the root of it, y'all want to feel in control again. Everything in your life for the past 2 years
And still today.
We're not saying
it has gotten worse.
We're not saying it's over. That's not at all what I'm saying. I am saying that we are subjected to going through all the same stuff with everyone simultaneously. And we feel extremely incapable of making a change because we don't feel like we can do enough ourselves to make a difference. And that creates this innate sense of insecurity, but also this existential crisis where you feel like, I don't have any control. And so I just need some control. And if I take back control, then I will feel better. I think y'all just want to feel better. Y'all just want to feel more free.
Yeah. And what I think is just interesting is that the things that we think we need to do to take back control only put us back in the same position that you were in when you lost control, because what you should be changing isn't even being addressed.
Interesting.
And it's things like your pricing, your offer, your boundaries, your systems, your support systems, you know, and I believe that everyone needs to address those things. Some of you, like, the dial is all the way up to here that you need to address because you're like at ground zero with it. Some of you have a really great system or support system or whatever, and we just need to make some refinements or to your pricing or to your offer or whatever it might be. But I think that so many of us like catastrophize the actions that need to be done to get us what we want. Mm-hmm. When it can actually just be a lot simpler.
I saw this interesting question being asked. Is our generation, have they gone through more of essentially like crises in the world than our parents' generation? Keeping in mind that our parents are still alive and they're still living.
You know, I actually ask myself this all the time because I feel like our memories are shorter than we think. And you know, we could sit here and like outline all the things that are like 9/11 and recession and the pandemic and then the housing crash and like all of the things, right? But like our parents also went through like the Challenger explosion and they went through 9/11 too. Like they were there. And so I don't know. I think sometimes we just forget some of the big events.
No, I think we absolutely forget. I think this is, we're at this stage in life where our awareness is heightened.
Yes. Yes.
And I will say probably one of the biggest differentiating factors between our generation and the last is we have more access to media than ever before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So information is faster and it's coming from more directions. And when you're subjected to that much input, you become exhausted. And so I think y'all's desire is completely in alignment, but I also think it requires you to unlearn some things. Mm-hmm. One, that work does not have to equal negative things taking away from your life.
Right.
Work can equal you feeling successful. Work can equal you feeling valued. Work can equal you being fulfilled. I also think it requires us to unlearn what rest really means. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we do finally have the ability to rest, we resist it because of all the things we are told that it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even say it's like necessarily, it isn't necessarily something that was ever explicitly said. I think a lot of it comes down to how we were parented.
Yeah, I saw this thing the other day about, it was just this funny TikTok about, you know, do you have this anxiety or did you grow up normal kind of thing? And it's the anxiety around when someone in your house gets up to clean that you then get up to clean.
Yes.
And I 100%
absolutely.
And there was a lot of great discussion in the comments of what that means and what that stems from. But it could be anything, right? When one person does this, do you react in this way? And I think a lot of that comes from rest. And you know, I feel like this is kind of segueing out, but the conversation a couple of years ago about being like, oh, how your first response when someone asks you how you're doing, oh, I'm so busy. And you like wear it as a badge of honor, et cetera, et cetera. And I know people who still do that now, but I think we go in waves of like, what do we rely on as this is what I should be doing, how I should be feeling, even though I hate it.
Rest has been, in my household, if you were sitting down, lazy.
Lazy, 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 lazy.
Sometimes it wasn't even always meant to be bad, but they would use words like, it's a lazy afternoon around here. And they're not necessarily always saying you're bad.
No, right. Mine was because I was raised by two single women as I was younger, and they worked really hard, They had their own businesses, all of the things. And they were praised nonstop for how busy they were, yes. how busy their bodies were. Oh, your mm-hmm. Nana just never sits down. She's always go, go, go. And she'll pick up and do this. And even when she doesn't feel well, she'll do this. So, okay.
I used to feel so guilty because Jared's that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. Like, mm-hmm. if I went as hard as he does all yeah. day, I yeah. would be on the floor for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have much energy to work off of. I don't. But I also think part of the confusion is with all the access to media and how our jobs have evolved, rest and work theoretically don't look that different.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this one post. Oh, she was like going to email her boss that she wanted to be out for the day, like, because she didn't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what am I supposed to say? I don't have the energy to look at a work screen, but I have the energy to look at a fun screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, actually, yeah. that's
actually,
real.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah.
And I know that that's confusing, but when it all feels kind of the same and not mm-hmm. at the same time, like, mm-hmm. of course you're confused. But rest doesn't have to equal lazy. Rest can equal recharge. And how you rest doesn't have to be the same as someone else's.
No. And I know we're talking about rest in the sense of like maybe those small moments that you're honoring your body and you're listening or whatever. But like, literally years of intentional rest doesn't mean yeah. that you have to fall behind. And in fact, I mean, we took an intentional year, 18 months.
At least 18 rest, months. Yeah.
And our business grew.
Grew a lot.
Grew a lot. So I'm not saying that's going to happen every time, but I think our fear is that not only are we not going to grow, but we're going to lose money or we're going to fall behind, or like that FOMO sets in of if I'm not taking advantage of this market right now or this opportunity right now or whatever, that like it's
but
not going to be there
for me. Often when you walk away, mm-hmm. does clarity actually come?
Yep. Yep.
When
nearly every time,
I mean, always, right? Like, it's not when you're like forcing yourself to figure it out. I think Emily and I used to have these meetings where we're like, we got to make a decision, we got to just move on, we got to make a decision. And the amount of times we will have a very valid, very intentional conversation and both look at each other like, okay, I think we need to just stop here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our phrase is like, okay, well, noodle on that.
Yeah.
I'll get back with you in like 3 days and we'll maybe noodle again.
So it takes us longer to make decisions, but every time they're better decisions than we would have made if we had made them the first day.
Yep.
Or the first time we brought it up.
Yep.
I'm like, when did we decide we have to rush through all this stuff all the time? And this is just a side note, but like, I think part of it is that really effed up checklist that we were all essentially given as children of all the things you need to accomplish in your life.
Mine was the perfect attendance awards.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. And the like, do good in school, go to college, fall in love, have a house, have a baby, have a successful career, whatever. The part that's confusing about all of that is y'all run out. Like, y'all check all the boxes and you're in your 30s. Most of you, some of you, it happens a little later. That doesn't matter.
You're like, cool, I did it. Now what?
Exactly.
The amount of times I've gotten asked by our clients, how do you figure out what you actually like?
Space. Space is how you figure it out. And I still don't know half the time. I'm like, well, I like this for now. So mm-hmm. I'm going to do what feels good and is in alignment with my current level of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what mm-hmm. I can sustainably create for myself and my business and the people that are in it. Because there is, as you build a business, you can absolutely create a business that requires more or less of you.
Yep.
That requires more or less money to run. That requires more or less people to run it. And those are all choices.
Yep.
But like, you can change your mind.
Literally whenever you want.
I know.
You have the ability to pull that lever, push the lever, delete the lever, rebuild the lever.
But what I do know to be true, because we wouldn't make it the title if I didn't know it to be true, but you can earn a full-time income without full-time hours, period. Like, that is a truth statement.
But the question is, do you know what your full-time income should be?
Do you know what your full-time income should be? Do you know what it takes to get there? Are you pricing appropriately so that you're not giving so much of your time away? And then are you actively making decisions about how you want to spend your time and not just putting shoulds in front of all the things? Are you letting someone else to decide? Are you in the driver's seat? I know a lot of you like to be passengers. Emily likes to be a passenger. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about money and when we're talking about your business, learning to drive the car is required.
Mm-hmm. Required learning.
And it's a good thing. It's going to grow you as a person.
And you don't have to figure it out by yourself. And you
no.
don't have to beat yourself
get
up.
Get a co-pilot. Moment. Damn it. I like to be co-pilot. I also occasionally like to drive for other people. But I just wish you guys were less hard on yourself. That's what it really comes down to.
Know thyself.
Get to know yourself. What do you want? What do you need?
What's your summer hobby going to be that you can throw in the trash?
Truly, isn't that exciting? How liberating to create something you don't plan to keep or that you don't plan to have serve a purpose. Now, I'm not trying to create more trash. Please don't.
Do that.
It's not what I'm talking about. I'll donate it. Some old lady will buy it for a little while.
Exactly.
House.
Exactly. But it doesn't have to be perfect to fulfill you.
No. Nothing has to be perfect to fulfill you. Mm-mm. Even this is the part that I think is so funny to me. Clients come into the incubator. We ask them up front, what is your goal? Mm-hmm. Where do you want to be 12 months from now? The hysterical thing to me is 3 months into it, they haven't all met their goal. Many of them have gotten damn near close to already mm-hmm. meeting their goal, but many of them will get halfway to their goal, a quarter of the way to their goal, 3/4 of the way to their goal. And they're like, actually, I didn't know this when I started, but this is what I really want in this season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you failed on the initial
nope.
goal. You just changed your mind.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So all of that to say, if you want to explore what it looks like to get back in the driver's seat, to have the tools so that you can make the choices about how you spend your time and how you earn your income, then we want you to be at this advanced training. But it requires you to spend 10 minutes of your time to apply. You're going to go to bossproject.com/incubator. You're going to give us some details. We're going to chat. We're going to talk more about what you want, what you haven't even figured out yet. And we're going to talk about what the potential looks like for you. I cannot wait. Bossproject.com/incubator.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode. Send it to a friend who needs to hear it and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.